Let's, for good luck, let's do the, let's start the next section, okay? We won't get very far. Shiba damga ngoki loma la jita tiyo rimba la ni. What are the sections to the Lam Rim? Like what, okay, so this is advertised as an instruction manual, A to Z, a Google of how to get enlightened, okay? It, all you need is this one teaching and all the practices, all the meditations, all the actions you have to do are described in a single compact source that summarizes 200,000 holy books, okay? I mean, it's amazing in Tibet. There are 200,000 books that are as good as Shakespeare or the Bible or Cervantes even. Okay, I mean, it's unbelievable. 200,000 unbelievable classics, as good as anything in the West, okay? 200,000 of them. Take their essence, it's in here, in one single book, okay? And we type them, right? We've spent 14 years in Russia cataloging 130,000 of them in the Tsar's collection next to the Hermitage. We had a team there for 14 years, and they just finished cataloging them, just making a catalog. We have a team in Mongolia working now for, when did you go, 98? They've been working there for 13 years now. They're not one-tenth of the way finished, okay? And it's extraordinary. We're thinking to have some, we're solarizing those input centers in the refugee camps. And I was thinking they all need sun saluters. So, yeah. But anyway, I was thinking I'll hit you guys up later and we'll buy some. Or we'll do a pilot project there and we'll, we have, I don't know, we have I think 9 input centers in refugee camps. And they've been going, this is 25th year. This year is the 25th year of operation. And they finished 8 million pages. Okay, and that's about 5%. Okay, it'll take another 150 years. Unless we have. Nothing. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Lang gitsa shinin tenbitso. So anyway, all of that wisdom is combined in a single text, okay? And in a single presentation. And that's why we're doing it. It has two parts. That instruction has two parts. Loma la jita ta rinpa la ni. Lang gitsa shinin tenbitso. Finding your spiritual teacher. Okay? First category. Second, after you find them, what to do? Okay? So finding your teacher is half the battle. It's half. It's worth 100,000 scriptures. Okay? The information in 100,000 ancient books relates to finding a good teacher. And I think if you I'm encouraged that Eden brought up mentors so often. I suspect that Elisa also had Martha Graham or people like that. I don't know. But every person who's really good at what they do learned from a teacher who was really good at what they do. You know? And Eden kept mentioning mentors. So even the fact that mentors matter to her is a good sign. You see, you need, in spiritual things, You need a mentor. You need to be close to somebody who knows what they're doing. And there's no other way, okay? You can have all the books you want, all the tapes you want, you can Google meditation and, you know, it's not gonna work. Even like YouTube videos of some good teacher is not enough. You need a, when you learn piano, you need the teacher's hand on your hand. You know, there's no substitution for that. You need it, okay? So the whole first section of the Lam Rim, the 50% of the Lam Rim by importance is devoted to finding a good teacher. You know, what makes a good teacher? How do I identify a good teacher? What are the qualities I should look for? How do I find them? You know, after I find them, what am I supposed to do? You know, how do I relate to a teacher? You know, that's the whole first part of the, okay? So, Deyan Jetson Tsokapa Chenpa Sungki Sache Denso Tsamla Yang Nyamnangi Nation to Chewa Tente Lamgi Tsawa She. Then, all of this presentation comes from the original great text by Jetson Kapa, right? The teacher of His Holiness the First Dalai Lama. And the way he phrased it was, he didn't say how to find your teacher. In his text, that section title is the root of the path. He doesn't call it your teacher. He calls it the root of the path. Lam Kitsawa, okay? Shinyin, spiritual friend, is the root of the path, okay? It's the source of everything, okay? Later, in another book, he called it what? The source of all my good, right? Yunden Shigyuma. You need a human teacher, and you need to be close to them, okay? I was in the same house with Rinpoche for 25 years, okay? Night and day, you know? And washing clothes, and cooking. I was a really bad cook. Anyway, you need that, okay? A lot of the transmission takes place in other during other activities, not just in a class. Okay, all right. Nation to chew today. Somebody, Berna Shingi Londe Sol Tamje Tzawala Ragbat Lepetar. What do we mean when we say root? He says. What do we mean when we say root? He says. Think of a fruit tree. So I grew up in Phoenix, right, which is the most beautiful city in the world. I don't care what those people say. It is to me. It is. It's really beautiful. If you know what's there, you know, I don't know. Or Guadalajara, right? If you. But anyway, there's a lot of orange trees and grapefruit trees, right? So we had grapefruit trees in our backyard. We had like 12. And we used to sell the fruit because it was just a mess. They would pay us to come and pick it. And then the grapefruit, right? But if you think about it, the fruit is only there because the leaves have grown, the solar panels have grown to collect the nutrition, the sunlight, right? And to absorb the carbon dioxide. They're eating and they're feeding the tree, the leaves, right? That's the fruit depends on the leaves. Otherwise the fruit would never come. The leaves depend on the branches. And the branches depend on the trunk. But the whole life of the tree depends on the nutrients being sucked up from the bottom. In ancient poetics in India and Tibet, a tree is called Kangtung. Say Kangtung. Kangtung means drinks through its legs. Okay. So the grapefruit or the oranges only exist because of the roots of the tree. Okay, the roots of the tree are in the ground. You can't see them. And they are sucking in the nutrients and the water and the through the ground, right? Without the roots, there's no trunk. And then there are no branches. And then there are no leaves. And then there's no fruit, right? So when he says the root of the path, it's a big deal. The teacher is like the roots of the tree, right? No deep meditation experiences possible without having a teacher, a living teacher, right? The fruits of your practice are not possible without the roots of the tree. Not possible. Tsawala rag lepitar. Dengjo nyeka ne milope sunji ki par. This book is actually not a book. It's a series of realizations that you have to have, okay? It's an instruction manual for a series of internal experiences that you need to have. And any one of those experiences is missing, the engine won't start. Okay? You go to a lift, what do you call it? Open the hood of your car and start taking pieces off. You know? And it will just stop. The engine will stop. Okay? It's the same in spiritual things. Okay? Getting to a state of enlightenment requires X number of breakthroughs, internal meditational breakthroughs. And each one is necessary. If one of them is missing, it won't happen. It's never going to happen. The Lam Rim is not a book. The Lam Rim is a series of instructions to trigger internal, high internal experiences. Okay, and you need all of them. And they have to come in the right order. Okay, so it's a beautiful idea. It's not a book, okay? It's a manual for triggering certain experiences in the human soul. And they need to come in a certain order. And they need to be there or the big picture won't happen. Okay? So everything from Dzogchen Nyeka is one of the first steps. It's to have a meditative direct realization that you are in an extraordinarily precious opportunity right now. Right now, where you live, the age you are, the education you have, the body you have, the state of mind you have, the intellect that you have, they are crucial. That's the first, one of the first Lam Rims. One of the last ones is called Milope Sungjuk. Say Milope Sungjuk. Sungjuk means the combination of the two. Combination of the two. I like it because it was a really good song by Janis Joplin, which nobody under 50 will appreciate. That's the word in the highest forms of secret practice for enlightenment. Okay, it's called the combination of the two. It's not called enlightenment. It's called the combination of the two. What are the two? How do you combine them? Rinpoche used to smile and he'd say, "That's secret." Okay. Secret, he used to say, people would ask him questions and he'd say, "Secret means secret." Okay. All of those realizations, internal, heavy duty, deep, beautiful, exquisite, internal breakthroughs and, what do you call that? Epiphanies, right? They all require a teacher. Without a teacher in the beginning, the first one won't happen. And all of them up until the last one, the combination of the two, require a teacher's guidance, direct guidance of a teacher, okay? Anyone who's good at anything, it could be dance, it could be music, it could be a language, it could be mechanical engineering, you know, anyone who's good at anything, had master teachers. That's just the way it is. Okay? You have to find a master teacher and you have to glue yourself to them and keep bugging them. Okay? I had a friend, she did the Xerox video. So Walter Cronkite hired her and the Discovery Channel to do a video about our refugee work, about the monks typing the ancient books, you know. And they paid her to come and she's really good at it. It's a really beautiful video. It's what, a minute and a half? It summarizes the whole project in like a minute and a half. And is it 2 minutes? I don't know. It's really beautiful. It cost $100,000. It took, she came for 3 or 4 weeks to the monastery and shot almost all day for 3 or 4 weeks to make a 3 minute film or 4 minutes? 4 minutes, okay? Then I said, how did you learned that? And she said, I had this flash of insight when I was very young. I said, I want to be a filmmaker. I should learn from the best filmmaker in the world. You know, I will pick the best filmmaker in the world. And I forget who it was. It was Francis Coppola or somebody like, I don't know who it was. I don't remember. But she said, Eden said that about cold calling famous people, right? Or helpful people. Then she called him and said, you know, can I learn from you? And he's like, yeah, you and 10,000 other people. I don't have time to teach people. And then she went home and she like, And she called him and she said, "Can I make your coffee?" And he said, "What? You know, what do you want? I'll make your coffee." And he says, "No, you don't understand. I travel a lot. I'll travel too. I'll just make your coffee in the morning. You know, I'll make you, I'll stand by you on the set and I'll make your coffee. I'll be your gopher. You know, whatever you need, I'll just run around for you and get it. You don't have to teach me anything. I won't ask you. You don't have to, you can send me out all day for sandwiches." And, you know, that's what I did to Rinpoche. You know, I went to him, I begged him, I said, "Let me study here." "No, you know, I don't have time. Do you have a place I could stay?" "No, that's your problem." You know, and then I said, can I wash the dishes?" "Yeah, well, yeah, you can wash the dishes." You know, and then you, it's the camel in the tent thing. You know, you get your foot in. And then, of course, she ended up being his assistant, right? But after 2 years of making coffee. Something like that, okay? Find the best in the world at what you want to be and attach yourself to them and keep bugging them, okay? And make it worth their while. You know, you say, I'll make you coffee. Something like that. And she's that's an incredible piece, right? It's an incredible piece. Okay. Anyway. The second entire section of the Lam Rim is entitled How to Do Your Practice Once You Have Found Your Lama. Then this is an extremely difficult sentence, okay, in Tibetan, because it says the once you is very important. Okay? The sentence is the once you in Once You Found Your Lama is crucial. The once you. It sounds weird in Tibetan and in English. It's like if you try to read this sentence, you go crazy. You know, the one, the ne, N-A-S, the ne, in ten ne lo jita jang wei su, how to train your mind once you've served them. Ne, once you. He says, the once you is crucial. What's that mean? Junkung gi da yin. The word once you is a word which expresses source. Okay? Like, once you have gone to the bank, you can get your money, or something like that. So it means you have to do this thing first, and then you can do all the rest of the things you want to do. Once you have withdrawn the money from your ATM, you can travel around town all day and buy the things you need. But the once you is very important. Once you means, first you have to do that. So he's saying, even the wording that Jetsun Kapa used in the first sentence of his book, once you have found a teacher, how to practice, is once you have found a teacher, which is the root of the path, you can learn how to practice. So even the way he made his first sentence tells you the importance of finding a teacher. Okay? Tito Chami. Then everything else will flow from that. Find a teacher who's qualified. Find a master teacher. Pick the best one that you can find. And then follow them. And the rest will come. All the other breakthroughs will come automatically. Okay? Plant the roots of the tree, the fruits will come. Okay? Therefore, there is nothing of more importance than finding a teacher at the beginning. Then he gets into this, okay, this is kind of off, I don't know. The structure of his Lam Rim, that big book, right, follows Tsongkhapa's to a point, and then it veers off to another famous Lam Rim called Mati. What do you call it? Dissection. Yeah, the bloody book. Why do they call it bloody? It's a Lam Rim which emphasizes giving the student a direct experience in the class, as if you were teaching anatomy from a corpse, cutting open. Rather than describing the liver, you go to a mortuary and you cut open the body and you say, that's it. That's the liver, you know. It's called a dissection style of teaching, okay? you like scare somebody about death, and then you get them to a, like some kind of terror about death. You get them to a point in during a meditation when they're like, I could die on the, I could choke on the chocolate in the break, you know, and you say, that's the liver. Okay? That's what I want you to feel. You see what I mean? You give them the experience in the class. Okay, so he's going to veer off to another structure. So he says, the first three parts of this presentation have followed Jetsamkalpa. And now we will veer off to another style of teaching. Okay, what were the first three sections? I went and looked them up. Okay, I'm so helpful. Chukun Sumbar Tembe Chirzepa Bochewa Temba. The first section was demonstrating how cool the source of this teaching was by giving you the life story of Lord Atisha, okay, who brought these teachings. He assembled these teachings 1,000 years ago. Okay, so we went through that. That follows the Lamrim Chemo's structure. Then the second part was Damanga Gopa Kebe Chiru Chuki Chewa Temba, explaining how cool the teaching itself is with its four great qualities and its three features, which everyone has forgotten. Okay. Nothing in the teaching contradicts itself. Everything will strike you as personal advice. What's the third one? Huh? Yahweh Gomba Delak to Nyeba. You will find the true intent of the Buddha easily, right? Then Nature Chamber Rangaksa Doa. You are protected from the great mistake. Okay, mainly those four. Then there's three others, they're not as important, okay? Alright, Damnagla Gibugi. That section was second. Third, Chewanita Dambichula Nyeshi Jida Chawa. How to teach and how to study. We covered the first three subjects as they are taught in Jetsamkalpa's version. Now we divert. Now we go to another structure, okay? What is that structure? It's the structure of Marchi, okay? And I'm going to give you that structure, okay? Lamgi Tsawa Shenyen Tenbitsu. It jumps right into how to find a teacher. Okay, it jumps right into how to find a teacher. So he's now he's the Lamrim, the what do you call it, dissection Lamrim, doesn't talk about those first three subjects. The first sentence in that Lamrim is find a teacher. It jumps right into the nitty gritty, find a teacher. Okay, how to find a teacher, and then what to do once you have found a teacher who is the root of the path, right? Dambalani, Tungingola Jito Chao Dan Tun Samsu Jito Chao Itsu. What? Then it goes to a weird place, okay? Get used to this. When it discusses how to find a teacher, it divides the task of finding a teacher into activities you undertake in a state of meditation and activities you undertake between those states of meditation. Okay? This is all how to find a teacher. Okay, that's kind of strange, right? Okay, like it doesn't say check on the internet or give some people a call or, you know, it says, Google, sorry. Here's what you should do in meditation that relates to finding a teacher, and here's what you should do between those meditation sessions to relate to a teacher properly, okay? It divides the subject that way. And then we'll get into it, okay? We're going to go there. Din men sache na marti tar yimbe. Cheme sache damindra. We are diverting now from Jetsamkalpa's structure. Dena dambo langi tsawa shinin tembitsula ni. Therefore, we can say that we are now going to go into two subjects. We are now on the subject of how to find a teacher and how to relate to them properly. And that will be discussed in two sections. Tungi ngo la jita jawa dan tunsam su jita jawa tsulo. What should you do during meditation, and what should you do between your meditations? Okay, it's very interesting. If you meditate every day, regularly, okay, this weird thing happens. You start to conceive of the day as the, in the way that I perceive yoga every morning. It's simply what stands between me and breakfast. Okay? Like, I have to get through the yoga to get to breakfast. That's all. It's just, okay? If you get good at the meditation thing, then the day becomes what you do between meditations. It's very interesting. It's not that the meditation is what you do a couple times a day. It's that the rest of your life is what you're doing between meditations. And your life is the meditations. It's very interesting, okay? He's like that, okay? From the beginning, the main part of the day is the meditation. It doesn't mean you meditate for 12 hours a day. It may be 10 minutes, it may be half an hour. But if you get good at meditation, you will see something strange. You come out of your meditation at what? 8 a.m. or 9 a.m., you go to work, you come back, you start again in the evening on your bed, right? Or you start the next morning, and it feels as if you just stood up and sat down. It feels though as if you just stood up and sat down, and you're just flowing from the previous day's meditation. Then you know your meditation is getting good. It feels like you're just picking up from yesterday. It feels as if you just went in again after a 5-minute break or something. Okay, that's why he's presenting it this way. Who wrote Marti? Yeah, good. The first Panchen Lama. Okay, Panchen Lamas and Dalai Lamas are like they rotate. Okay, basically, when the Dalai Lama is older, the Panchen Lama is younger. Okay, the current Panchen Lama is missing. Okay, he was arrested at age 5, and we don't know if he's alive or dead. Okay. He's under house arrest, but nobody knows even if he's where he is or if he's still alive. Okay. Then those alternate. Those two lamas have traditionally alternated. So anyway, everything else we're studying is also by the first Panchen Lama. Okay. The February sessions, all the sessions in Phoenix are first Panchen Lama. Okay. Okay. Taking on, we have. Okay, the clock is your enemy. I'm gonna go a little bit because I just don't want to, say the first sentence and we go to bed. It's kind of weird. Shindane, mi tse shribo chawa ningsha chuk ren nang tu dushing. The dividing it this way. Between times in meditation and times out of meditation is extremely ne chenbu ne. It's a crucial point. It's like has a deep significance. Okay, dividing it this way has a deep significance. Why? Mi tse shubu jawa ningsha tuk re nang dushing. All an entire human life is spent in days. Okay? Human lives are spent in days. They are composed of days. 70, 80 years of human life is composed of days, right? How many times will the sun rise and set and you'll still be here? That's called a human life, right? Okay? Nandadushin, ninsha tu chi po de tun dan tun sam ki dusin. Then when you think about it, a day of a human life, a day in the life, right? Is divided into, are you meditating or are you out of meditation? Are you between meditations? Are you meditating or are you between meditations? That's how we view a day. That's how we view your day. Are you meditating or are you between meditations? Okay? Nisuduwe, gosum gijawa tundan tunsam nisudune. So we can divide all of human activity, verbal, physical, and mental, into that which takes place during meditation and that which takes place between meditations. Your life, the milestones of your life is marked by meditation sessions, okay? Not by hours or how many meals you ate or something like that, okay? Tunsam yin dunne jowa dang, tunsam yin dunne tunnun tunsam yin. Nipo dundan du chena. Then he says a funny thing. He says, if the time you spend in your meditation is spent to the benefit of all life, all living beings. If the time in your meditation is spent in the service of all living beings, if it serves all living creatures, and if the time between your meditation sessions serves all living creatures, then you have served all living creatures with your time, because there ain't any other time. Okay? It's cool. It's beautiful, right? Okay? Don't worry. Ture dunden dudro. Dende dawadan lo sok mi se shilpo dunden dudro la neche. If the time in meditation in any particular day is useful to the goals of all living beings, and if the time between meditations is useful to all living beings, then that day is useful to all living beings. And months are made of days. So if you spend 30 days like that, you've spent a meaningful month. And then years are made of months. And if you spend 12 months like that, then that year had meaning. That year was well spent in your life. And then your life is made up of all those years. So if each year was well spent, then the life is well spent. Okay? That's nice. Right. What does it mean, well spent? To me, it would be living your life by those principles we talked about. You want a boyfriend? Go help an elderly person, a lonely person. You want money? Go help the poor. You know. You want world peace? Make your own heart peaceful. Okay, like that. All right. Like to understand that that's how things work. Is to help the world. If everyone in the world thought that the only way to find a cute partner was to go to a nursing home, the world would be covered with happy people. The old people would be happy because they're getting visited. The people who visited them would be happy because they'd have cool partners. And that would cover everybody. Okay? Now, and it sounds dumb, but that's world happiness. Okay? And that's really what we're doing with DCI. So I encourage you to think about it, to think about helping. It's hard work to bring 100 new people in. Okay? It's hard work to find the money to take 15 people to China. You know, next time we go, we need 20 teachers. Okay? It's hard work to find them places to stay, you know, get them plane tickets, like that. It's a hassle. It makes your hair turn gray or fall out, okay? But to sit in Beijing and teach 500 people these ideas and see them light up and understand it and see them succeed, to come back the next year and they're all like shining and beautiful, then that's the fruit of our labors, right? Like, we've been teaching in South China now for Guangzhou. We just finished level 2. We've only been there a year, okay? All of those people are shining. It's very strange. They were all gray like Beijing. I showed you a picture of Beijing, right? It was extraordinary. I got out of the plane, and I've never seen a place that was completely gray. There was nothing, no colors. I'll show you. It's very disturbing. It's kind of... my life. It was a lot like that picture we saw. Okay, there it is. That's Beijing when we got out of the plane. Okay, can you see? Okay. I'm not kidding. You can't see anything. It's just a gray cloud. That was the noon. That was at noon. Okay? It's just a huge gray crowd. And then that makes people gray. That makes the people gray. They're all like, they feel gray. And they were all run down and unhappy and polluted and tired and uninspired and unhappy. And then you give a 5-day program. At the end, everyone's crying. Everybody. All these Communist Party members are crying, you know. And then, because they see some hope in their life, you know. I'm going to go to the nursing home, you know. I got my mom, you know. And then you come back in a year and they're all like shining, you know. And we did that. We do that all over the world. So I encourage you to be part of that, okay? That means you have to finish your ACI course. Right? And then sign up, just sign up. And it's a hassle to bring you. It's more trouble than it is benefit. but it, in time, then you can do your own DCI programs. That's the idea, you know. The Guadalajarians will be doing their own programs, you know, and that's the idea. That's the vision, you know. You can make the whole world go from gray to color, you know. It's really fun. It's really amazing. You can't imagine how beautiful it is to do that. To go to Beijing and, you know, make everyone's doing yoga, meditating, happy. They're visiting the nursing homes. They all have beautiful boys. And they're like, you know. And if you keep doing that enough, then the areas that are covered will start to touch each other, right? And then the world is covered. And everyone's visiting nursing homes everywhere. It's a beautiful thing, okay? That's the vision, right? Of making your whole life meaningful. That's a meaningful life. That's a life well spent. Okay? In meditation and in between. I'm going to go some more just because it's beautiful. Detar dambo tungingola jita chawe tsulang. So let's talk about the first one. How shall you conduct a meditation session? And don't forget, it's easy to forget, those of you who studied Lam Rim for a while, he's talking about with regard to finding your teacher. Don't forget that. He's going to go off on maybe 100 pages of how to conduct a meditation session. But don't forget what the session is for. It's to be with your teacher. Okay? It's to find and be with your teacher. That's the goal of the meditation session. He doesn't keep saying that, but keep it in the back of your mind. We are in the section called How to Find Your Teacher. And that's why we're meditating. It's kind of cool. All right? Like a lot of the interaction with your teacher is going to take place in meditation. And then later, between meditations, a lot of time with your teacher becomes a meditation. Okay? Like that. Very beautiful. There will be three sections to our explanation of how to conduct a meditation session. First, Jorchu means the preliminaries to a meditation. We've been doing some of them every morning. Okay? We've been doing some of them every morning. To do a meditation without doing the jorchu would be very similar to running an Olympic 100 meter race without warming up at all. Okay? It'd be very similar. And you would just hurt yourself. You know? It'd be very similar. Or it's a freezing day, you start the car and you just drive off. It kills a car. You want to kill a car, do that. You know? It needs like 20 breath to warm up, or you kill it. You kill the car. It's like that. It's impossible to sit down and go into meditation. You need to prepare your mind for the meditation. So that will be the first subject. Second will be how to do the actual meditation. We won't get to that for a year. I'm not exaggerating, okay? Probably a year. And then Jugla Jita Jarudumba. How should you wrap up a meditation session? What's the proper way to wrap up, finish a meditation session? We'll get to that in like a year and a half. Okay? I'm teaching you the old way. Like, I have to go around the world and teach these five-day things. It drives me crazy. Okay? I want at least some of my students to get the whole thing. The old way. So we're talking in years. We're talking like five-year blocks. It'll probably take 2 or 3 5-year blocks to get through this, and then we have to go on some of the stuff. Okay? And don't skip, and don't miss these retreats. You're a fool. I sit at home and I think, they're insane. Those people are insane. People call me and say, you know, somebody call me, what's that? I don't feel happy, so I'm not coming. And I'm like, I hear bad words in my mind. You know, and you're insane. If you don't come and learn this, you're just totally insane. You don't know anything. Okay? It's worth anything in the world to hear this whole thing. You know, really, you're crazy. It's just crazy. And I don't tell people that. I don't like go on Facebook and say, everyone who doesn't come to my course is crazy. But they are. Okay? Now you have one chance to get this transmission. And you have one chance to learn it all and pass it on to other people. And to miss it for what? Oh, I went to a wedding, or there was a concert, or you know, it's insane. Okay? You have a chance to get the whole transmission. Get it. Don't miss a single day. Don't miss a single hour. Okay? In my opinion, okay. Dayan Jorwala Kelchungu Che Minyente. If someone tells you that it's not so important, it's not so crucial to warm up before a meditation, you can tell them to stuff it. Okay? Kelchung. Minyente. Minyen means don't listen to them. But anyway. I heard the Dalai Lama talk one day in Tucson. He was so funny. He said, somebody said, you know, my neighbor really is bugging me. What should I do, you know? And he said, in Tibetan, he said, go over to their house, try to make friends with them once. And if they refuse, then come home and wait a while and go back again and try to make friends with them. And then if that fails, go back to your house again. And the third time you go to their house, open up the door and say, eat shit. He said that in Tibetan. Then I'm waiting for the Oxford translator, you know? You know, I'm like, how's he gonna do this one, you know? And he said something like, express your extreme displeasure. You know, and and you know, he's really funny. In Tibetan, he's really, really funny. Like you cry, you laugh until you cry if you heard him if you can understand what he's really saying. It's really beautiful. Extremely beautiful. Anyway, so if someone tells you it's not important to warm up before meditation, you can express extreme displeasure. Niente. If you want to know, it's Gyakpa So. Okay, say Gyakpa. So. People remember curse words. Like you'll meet some Tibetan Lama, they'll say, do you know any Tibetan? You say, I only remember one thing from the retreat. And he'll say, what's that? You know, you say, Gyakpa So. I don't know why people remember those things. Anyway, it's a start to your Tibetan. Minyente. Perna jashimashik sawala tomar nyodune. He says, see, in Tibet, drinking tea is a big deal, okay? Rinpoche made me drink about 25 cups of tea a day, okay? I remember I went on a business trip to Bangkok, and I didn't drink tea for a day, and I was dead out in bed. I couldn't get up. I had such a terrible migraine, and I was just like, what is that? You know, so in Tibet, tea is crucial. Every lama has a tea thermos with about 30 cups of tea next to them. And they drink all day. They drink salt butter tea all day, right? So it's a big deal in Tibet. Especially when you're in your student years, you don't go out for meals. You sit there and you're just staring at the scripture and trying to memorize it, and you're eating ground barley flour, roasted barley flour with tea. It tastes just like Cheerios, if you're curious. And you roll the dough in the tea and you just sit there and eat it and you study, you know. And that's all you eat for your first 25 years in the monastery. Anyway, so tea is crucial. Niente perna jashimbo. But if you want to make a good tea, you have to pay attention to the shopping. Okay? Like when I want to make a nice meal for my lama, I send out Nicole Vigna because she knows how to buy stuff. You know, she goes and she'll drive to like 14 stores to get the best fresh nutmeg. You know what I mean? You want to make a nice French meal, pay attention to the shopping. it's the shopping. It's all in the shopping, you know? Go get the best ingredients. And the rest will come out fine, okay? Same in a meditation. If the preliminaries are good, the meditation will be, the main meal, will, the main course will be great. But you gotta do, you gotta know how to go into a meditation and how to prepare the mind for a meditation. That's like shopping, okay? To make a good meal. Or making a good Tibetan tea. Nenden che gubba shin, ngun shi nyam nyong gyu la kye we gyu tsok, jowe chu la nenden che gu. You gotta focus on the, on learning how to prepare the mind for meditation. And then the meditation will be automatic. And the meditation will be tasty if all the ingredients are tasty and you don't burn it, but that's another thing. Okay. I'll say the name of the first, I'll give you the names and then we'll stop, okay? There are six preliminary practices. Okay, there are six preliminary practices to a meditation session. There are six things you should do before you start the actual meditation. Here they are. Dena dambo jorwe chodi la duk. There are six preliminaries to a good meditation. Jorwe chod dambo ne kang chido che la kusun tuki ten damba. Clean your room. Tidy it, make it beautiful, and then set up an altar properly. Okay, set up a proper altar. Okay. The word for altar in Tibetan is not altar. The word for altar in Tibetan is a place where the holy thoughts, words, and actions of an enlightened being may land and rest for a while. The word is that. It's very beautiful, right? They don't say altar. They say a place in your room where enlightened beings' words and thoughts and deeds may rest for a while you're meditating. It's very beautiful, okay? Kusung tukten, okay? Kamba, that's step number one, okay? Those two things are step number one. Nipat chepa yome ching kupat zepa sham. Number two, set out beautiful offerings on the altar which have been acquired honestly in a clean way. Number three, den dewala lu nam nangi chudun den du kude gesam kepa chengi ngangne kyapsem sok jawa. Learn the seven or eight components of a good meditation posture. And then when you sit down on your meditation seat, check your body for the eight. We'll call them eight, okay? Sometimes they're called seven. The breath meditation is considered number eight. Then there are seven points of posture that we do. So you should, step number three is sit down in the proper seven points of posture with the proper breath meditation. And prepare your mind with thoughts of knowledge and compassion, okay? Prepare your mind with knowledge of, with thoughts of knowledge and compassion. That step, all of that is step number three. Okay. Step number four, tsokshing seln depa, visualize your teacher. Bring your teacher to the room. Okay. I don't like the word visualize. Scratch that out. Bring your teacher to the room. Okay. Bring your teacher to the room. If you have the capacity, bring some of their teachers and their teacher's teacher and their teacher's teacher and, you know, as much as you can handle. I personally don't bring anybody else. There's a cheating system called Kundun Nobeluk. It means you can just bring your teacher and consider them to be the embodiment of all the lamas of the lineage. And you don't have to try to picture 41 generations of lamas. Every year it gets more complicated. Okay? Because there's all these people in the class right now, then you're in the lamas of the next generation, then it's going to get complicated. There's 130 of you. Okay? It's too much. Okay? Then it gets to be too complicated and then you don't do it well. Okay? Personally, after 40 years of meditating, it's just my teacher sitting with me. Okay? And I suggest that. But anyway, I have to teach you the text, right? Tsokshin Sendaba. Ngapa, number five. Sarjagi ne dupa yinla dumba mendo dan chipa bua. Go through that practice of sakjang, right? Sakjang. Just before the meditation, collect some powerful good karma. And just before the meditation, wipe out some negative seeds. Just before you go into meditation, clean your heart and load it with a lot of sweet thoughts. Then start meditating, okay? Which includes an offering of an enlightened world to your teacher, okay? What is an enlightened world? It's where everyone's been to DCI level 12 or something, okay? That's all. I'm not kidding, okay? I'm not kidding. It's where all the people in Beijing or Nairobi or Abu Dhabi or Munich or Kiev or Guadalajara are living according to the old lady in the nursing home principles. And then that's an enlightened world, okay? Because there won't be any more poverty and there won't be any more loneliness, okay? That's all. All right, number six, Drupa, then we'll finish, okay? Thanks for hanging in there. Drupa's, and last night we didn't get much sleep and you're all being good, okay? Drupa, Sundepa Mengashin Gyudan Dengue Tsujao. Step number six, request your teacher for their blessing, okay? Because without that you can't meditate, it won't come, okay? Get your teacher's blessing and then the meditation will be awesome, okay? And that's all. Those are the six preliminaries. So all the ones we've been doing in the morning are part of number five. Okay? Those were just part of number five. Okay? Then we'll talk about each one of these. We'll spend a lot of time on each one of these six. Okay? And then your meditation will take off. It'll be really awesome. Okay, I want to remind you that you are supposed to hit on the other people in the class. Okay? I want to see a lot of like, you know, hey, you want to come to Guadalajara? I'm kind of interested in coming to Rome, you know? And I want to see lots of, what do you call it?
Collaborations.
I think there's another word. There's a naughty word. I like naughty. Me and Eden like naughty words. Worse than that. Anyway. Worse than that. Is there something naughty? There's something naughtier.
Intermingling?
No, not that naughty. What do they call it when the president of the company hires their son and...
Nepotism.
There's a different word. I don't remember. Incest. I want to see a lot of... I want to see some incest. Okay? I want to see everybody from one country getting in bed with somebody from another country. And teaching together, okay? I mean, now someone's going to take that out and put it in a newspaper, trust me. I want to see you... I really, really want you to do some creative collaborations, maybe three countries, maybe four countries, right? And you have a group of four people who are teaching together. And then you say, first we'll do it in Guadalajara, and then we'll move to Mexico, meaning Mexico City, because Mexico City think Mexico means Mexico City. And then we'll take it to Paris, okay? And then we'll take it to Shanghai, something like that. It's fun, it's really fun, okay? So tomorrow I want to hear about some good stories of inter-collaboration. Okay. Mr. Chirpetti, you ready?
Bhukhi Dushi Metho Tham Rira Vingshi Minde Kempadi Sangye Shindu Migde Uwagi Doku Nanda Shingla Chupasho Iram Guru Radha Mandala Kamriya Tayami Dewa Dike Loko she le chung we dhamma kuni to pa shu.
Then I'd like to personally again thank all the people who have taught us this week. The yoga teachers are awesome. Alisa and Eden have been awesome. Ningbo, Mercedes, other people gave classes here. To me, they were really beautiful, really awesome. So thank you for that. Thank you for teaching. And I hope that the rest of you will all be teaching at shortly in the way that they are, okay? All right. I'm asking you to do that, okay? All right. Good night.